In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. Why do we need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Why do we need Pentecost to be the active ingredient in our lives? Why? Because I'm going to tell you, the Lord is very simple, he's very beautiful, he's awesome. How did the church start? Can I ask a question? How did the church start? The church started with Pentecost. It started with Pentecost. And I'm going to tell you, how does the church continue? The church continues under the power of the Holy Spirit. If there is no Pentecost in people's lives, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have lukewarm people. You're going to have people that do not know God from Buddha. This is what you hear from many, many Catholics, okay? It really doesn't matter who you worship, as long as you worship God. How many times have I heard that from Catholics? It doesn't matter. You know, you're a Muslim. You know, it makes no difference who you worship, Allah. You know, it's all one. I want to tell you, it's not all one. It's not all one. I'm going to tell you, there's one person who has saved us, and his name is Jesus, and he died on a cross as a result that we would not go to hell. I want to tell you, that's real. I want to also tell you that Allah is not God. Okay? He's not God. He's the moon god. And if you know anything about history, the Muslims had 365 gods that they kept in this cabinet. And we see what Mohammed did was he took one of them, the moon god Allah, because Allah is the Allah the Great. And he has no son. That's their proclamation. God is one and he has no son. That's what they proclaim. And you know what the Bible says about that? The Bible says that he who denies the Son denies the Father. So, you know, it's all not one. You know, a generic God. You know, we all love God, whatever that means. What God do you love? I want to love the true God. I told you about the chaplain in the Bronx. She's visiting a hospital for the chronically ill, and there was a man in a wheelchair, and she smiled at him. And after she smiled at him, they began to talk. And he said, the Muslims are trying to convert me. I've never been baptized. I want the truth. I don't want their God. I want the truth. Is there a truth? That's an issue. That's a big issue today. Is there truth? Is there truth? What an issue that is. You know, is there truth? Or is everything just alike? Well, I'm going to tell you what Jesus was doing as he stood before Pilate. There he is, our Lord, crowned with thorns in the purple robe, bleeding all over the place. And Pilate looks at him and says, "What is truth?" Poor Pilate. He had truth right in front of him, and he didn't recognize it. Truth is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is truth? Who is truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, Jesus said. He did not say, I am a way. I am the truth. He did not say a truth. I am the life. That's the peculiarity of Christianity. And it's real. Only Jesus is salvation. Now, I'm not going to deal with other people. You know, let's talk about the Buddhists. I'm not going to put them in hell. I didn't die for them, okay? Let the Lord judge them. I'm not going to judge anybody. I just know the way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. I know the way to eternal life is to believe in Jesus Christ. I know that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and I know that he sent his Holy Spirit upon us at Pentecost, and he wants us to continue to operate under the power of the Holy Spirit. I know that. I also know that without the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are impotent. Impotent. When people write to me and say, you were speaking right to me and my life was changed, it's not that I changed their life. It's that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, when the Word was preached, changed their life. God did it through the proclamation of the Word. This is real. You know, the Word without the Holy Spirit is useless. It's just black letters on a white page. You know, the Bible without the Holy Spirit is just a whole lot of words on a white page. But God has promised us that His Word will not return void under the influence of the Holy Spirit, under the power of the Holy Spirit, under the unction of the Holy Spirit. That's why what is needed today is we need people to go out and preach. We need people to go out and preach so that when they come to the Eucharist, they can receive Jesus and know who it is. Let's see what the church gives us. Okay, this is so important. The way the church prays is the way the church believes. This is real. How does the church pray at the Eucharist? The first thing is repentance. Now, I don't know if people repent or not, but they're called to repent. We call people to repentance. Second thing, the liturgy of the Word, the Bible. The Bible. Nothing else will be read but the Bible. And the Bible, the Word of God, will get us ready to receive the Word made flesh as Eucharist. That's the way the church believes. That this Word of God, when proclaimed and preached, will get us ready to receive the Lord as Eucharist. That the power of the Holy Spirit, when I receive Jesus, become real in my life through this wonderful, wonderful sacrament. But you see, how are they to believe without a preacher? And what will happen unless they're sent? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I was just told yesterday, okay? Told yesterday, somebody on the phone told me that whenever a sacrament is celebrated at a certain church, the priest always ends with a joke to try to teach about the sacrament. But the people miss the sacrament, and they get the joke. I won't go any further because I don't want to defame anybody. The point is this. When you have people in front of you, I always believe God wants to touch people. And how does He touch people? Through the Holy Spirit, as the Word of God is preached, proclaimed. And as we pray with people, so He can get us ready to receive Him Eucharistically. We need the Holy Spirit. What happens at the Mass? Today we're having a surprise Mass today at 3:30, okay? Let's think of what happens at the Eucharist, okay? Listen to what happens. We have ordinary bread and wine, okay? Bread and wine, that's all we have. Then the priest prays the prayer of the church. Listen to what he prays. Let your Spirit come upon these gifts, the bread and wine, so that they may become for us the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The priest places his hands over the elements, and he prays that the Holy Spirit would come upon these gifts, that they would become the very body, blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. And as he prays the prayer of the church and speaks the words of consecration, you know, it's all one. It's all one. These elements now become the very presence of Jesus. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. Now, somewhere along the line, I was taught that by Dominican sisters in the second grade. Second grade. I was taught that. I will never forget my first communion. It was the best day of my life. That I knew I was going to be receiving Jesus. It was the day. There was no better day in my whole life but my first communion. It was my best day. I knew I was going to be receiving Jesus. And that he was coming to me. And that this Jesus who gave his life for me, I didn't know all this, you know, I knew he died on the cross. I didn't have all the particulars. You know what I'm saying? I was in the second grade. I was 7 years old. I only knew what I knew as a seven-year-old child. But I knew this was Jesus. And I knew that when I went back to my seat, he was with me, in me, and that he loved me. That was the gift. Little did I know that was the Holy Spirit who made that present to me. I didn't know that. I couldn't give you the theological experience. The Holy Spirit made that present. I had no idea about the Holy Spirit at that time. But the Holy Spirit had an idea about me. But I knew this was Jesus. The Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus, makes Jesus present. Always. Tomorrow we celebrate the Feast of the Incarnation, 9 months before Christmas. When the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "You shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." So our Blessed Mother says what? How can this happen, since I am a virgin? Listen, the answer. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall rest upon you. And what does Our Lady say? Let it be done unto me according to thy word. And with that, the Spirit of God comes upon the woman of Nazareth, and the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The Holy Spirit always, always forms Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Now, at the altar, the Holy Spirit always forms Jesus at the altar when we celebrate the Eucharist. And in the church, there is no church without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fashions Jesus in the hearts of the believers. That's his job. Without the gift of the Holy Spirit, we don't have anything. Without the Holy Spirit, and without the release of the Spirit at Pentecost, we have nothing. That's why our prayer should be, "Come, Holy Spirit. I'm desperate for you, Holy Spirit. We need you, Holy Spirit. Come and fashion Jesus in me. Come and fashion Jesus in our church. Come and fashion Jesus in our children. Come, Holy Spirit." We remember what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. He said, "What fathers among you, if your son asks you for a piece of bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked you for a fish, would give him a scorpion?" And then Jesus said these words, so beautiful, "How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" If you fathers know how to give good gifts to your children and you're sinful, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Much more. But who's asking for the Holy Spirit? Like, who's really saying to the Lord, "A new Pentecost. We need a new Pentecost in our life. We need a new Pentecost in the church. We need a new Pentecost in our children. We need a new Pentecost in our seminaries. We need a new Pentecost." Who's asking for the new Pentecost? I'm going to tell you, not many people. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit will not be contained by you, me, or the church. He flows and blows where he will. And sometimes, I'm going to tell you, he'll embarrass you. He'll embarrass you. You see, the Holy Spirit is a proclaimer of Jesus. I'll never forget my friend Betty Foley. Betty Foley, a nurse and one of the most proper people in the world. Oh, if you ever met Betty Foley, you would say she's the most proper person in the world. She's gorgeous. Loved her. She's now in heaven. I know it. It was Good Friday. It was Good Friday. So she prayed this prayer. Lord, today, help me not to be like Peter, that I would never deny you. Don't let me deny you today, Lord. That was her prayer. It was Good Friday. She went to Boston that day. I don't know what she went for. Now she's in the middle of the train. She's in the train, sitting down. And again, a very proper lady. A very proper lady. And in the train is a man, and he's saying, today is Good Friday. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He's preaching. He's preaching in the train. And everybody's looking under their newspaper. They don't want to hear him. Do you know that he died for your sins? Do you know he loves you? Do you know he rose from the dead? Then he pointed at Betty and says, and what do you say about Jesus? She stood up and said, Jesus Christ is Lord. And with that, the doors opened and she left. This is real. She told the Lord, I don't want to be like Peter today. I want to proclaim you. And here is this man on the train preaching Christ. Then he points to her and says, and what do you say about Jesus? That was not easy. Such a proper woman. I tell you, sometimes the Holy Spirit brings me into situations that I would never, ever want. If I ever thought about them, okay? If I ever thought about these situations, that how am I going to do this? I would never, ever go into it, honest. But it's always fruitful if he brings me into it. And when I look back, I say, thank God I didn't know about this. Because I think I would have stepped back. See, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus present. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't have very much, honest, not much. When the people come and have cancer and they want to be prayed with, I just know if God doesn't move by his Holy Spirit, they're going to die. I know that. I know that if God doesn't move by his Holy Spirit, they're not going to be living. I know that. The only thing I can do is invoke the power of the Holy Spirit, invoke the power of the blood of Jesus. That's all I can do. But I also know if God doesn't do it, it's not going to be done. I also know that when I preach, if God, the Holy Spirit, is not flying around, nothing's going to happen. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I also know if I preach the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's going to be there to validate that Word. I know that to be true. And no one taught me that but Jesus. The validation of the Word of God comes from the Holy Spirit. He testifies to Jesus. What happened on the day of Pentecost when they were filled with the Holy Spirit? What happened? The first thing they did was they opened the door. Remember they were closed for fear of the Jews? Remember? And what did they do? They go out and proclaim, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised up to be both Lord and Messiah. And 3,000 people were added to the church that day under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Do you know anything about Vincent Farah? Well, let me tell you a little bit about Vincent Farah. Vincent Farah is a Dominican saint. You need to Google him, Vincent Farah. As he was praying one day, listen to this, the Lord said to him, I want you to go into the Jewish synagogue with the crucified Jesus, and I want you to proclaim Jesus Christ to these people. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's beyond the beyond. But Pharaoh heard God and did it. And that day, that synagogue was converted to Jesus Christ. Who was moving in their hearts? The gift of the Holy Spirit. You know one thing I don't like? I'm going to tell you what I don't like. People going to nursing homes and going to Jewish people and who are in wheelchairs and forcing them to take Jesus into their heart. I hate that. If you can't love those people, don't you dare preach to them. If you can't help those people, don't you dare try to shove the Lord down anyone's throat. If you can't care for them. That's not respecting people. You need to love people first before you do anything. You need to care for them before you do anything. You don't take a man in a wheelchair who's Jewish and tell him Jesus wants to come into your heart. As much as I want to preach the word of God, you do not do things like that. You love that man. You care for that man. You visit that man. You bring him gifts. You pray for that man. And then he'll ask you, "What? Why are you different?" The gift of the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift that Jesus left. And so why did Jesus die? Yes, to forgive our sins. Yes, to heal our sicknesses. But what did he say? It is better for you that I go away. If I do not go away, I will not send the Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus die and rise? So that we would be empowered with the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that the Holy Spirit would dwell in our hearts by faith. So that the Holy Spirit would be able to touch the lives of the world one at a time through the proclamation of Jesus, word and sacrament and power of God. Jesus died so that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. We'd be tabernacles of the Holy Spirit. We'd be temples of the Holy Spirit. How many people really know that they're temples of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God dwells in you, that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you? Do you really know that? Do you really know that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you? Do you know that? It's real. If you're a believer, even the weakest believer, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. That Holy Spirit, that wonderful Spirit of God, that Spirit that lived with the Father and the Son from all eternity, that Holy Spirit that was given to us at Pentecost, that Spirit that wants to enliven your life, that Spirit that wants to wake you up from your sleep and show you that the Lord has been raised from the dead, that Spirit that wants to do miracles through your hands. Do you know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit if you're a believer? Do you know that? Do you know that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you? Do you know that God has left you the greatest gift he could ever give you, and that's his Spirit? But the Spirit, you always know where the Holy Spirit is. Makes Jesus present. Glorifies Jesus. Convicts us of our sin. When's the last time you went to confession? When's the last time you went to confession? Oh, I don't need to go to confession. Oh, really? Give me a break. When's the last time you went to confession? The last time you owned up to your own darkness. Yeah. I want the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to do that. Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit works through that sacrament. I tell you, I've seen people's lives changed. I have someone listening to me now in Atlanta whose life has been changed through the sacrament of penance. I wish she could preach about penance because she knows more about the sacrament than I do. I can give you the words, but she has been so changed by that gift of penance. But, okay, let me just tell you this. Today at 3:30, there will be a surprise Mass at the Holy Rosary, and you're welcome to come. 2:30, we're going to get into the rectory, and we'll be praising the Lord for an hour. 3:30, surprise Mass. And yes, next Wednesday we will be at the Espousal Retreat House. We'll start saying it now. Next Wednesday we will be at the Espousal Retreat House. We were there last night. And thank God, God did some beautiful things. I want you to continue to pray for Father Carapi, because I still believe a person is innocent until proven guilty. I believe that. That's what our legal system says, that a man or a woman is innocent until proven guilty. I want you to keep him in your prayers. But not only Father Carapi, other men, priests that have been condemned and never found guilty, would you pray for them too? It's so important. Jimmy the Roofer, you know, you might be having a leak in your roof because of all the snow you had. His telephone number is easy, 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341. Listen, today, 2:30, we're going to worship the Lord in the rectory. At Holy Rosary, 3:30, there'll be a surprise Mass. And I'll see you tomorrow with the help of God. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.